Glorify thou me with thine own self. Show who I am. Why? Because when you show who I am, the world will know who it is. For you are the Father of all. You are my Father, and you are the Father of my disciples. You are the Father of all who walk the earth. Show who you are where I am, and all who have ears will know who you are where they are. And then forever taking away the belief that your life is not eternal and that it began at a point in time. Glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Before the world was, there was a Christ. Before the world was, there was life eternal. Where did it go when the world appeared? Nowhere. Before the world was, you were life eternal and are now. The mortal sense of life slips away, loses its power to persuade us that we are limited, finite cells in clay. The Christ in us says to the Father, reveal that I am the self that existed before the world. Reveal that I am pre-existent being. That before there was a world, I was life. That I didn't begin 50 years ago. That I won't end 50 years from now. That I am that life which always was. And let me live in that life. Let me expand my consciousness to the place where I know myself to be that life that never began and never ends. Take me out of this finite concept of a mind. And so your work is cut out for you. You are that life which existed before the world. That life is all that ever has existed. And the life we have known to be life is the world concept or the recreated idea about life, which never was ourselves and which always persuaded us that we were mortal or dying creatures. And that is the importance of these five verses. To clear the air, to open the eyes of those who are ready to see. They've been there so long that you know their meaning has been completely overlooked. The world has not seen them at all. The world has insisted this is all about Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says, glorify thou me, that I may glorify thee. That I may give eternal life to all those that thou hast given me. Now then, the life that you are now is the very same life that was Jesus Christ on the earth. The life that you are now is the life of everyone who walks this earth. The life that you are now is the life of everyone who has walked this earth. And that life of everyone who has walked this earth is still their life now. In other words, we are the life. And we must drop the concept of being the form. We become those who still walk in the appearance of form, where we become righteous servants of the life. We wait upon the Lord. We wait upon the life. We rest in the life consciousness, letting it move and activate the appearance called form. No activity begins in the form, it begins in the life. You rest in your life consciousness and let the life move the form. Ultimately, you'll find that the life is moving its soul form, which will appear to you outwardly as your physical form, although it is not. The shift in identity now is eternal life. These are the facts only. The application of the facts is what we might have some time to discuss today. and what we undoubtedly will be applying the remaining years that we walk this mortal earth. We will be applying the knowledge that I am eternal life until earth is no more, until the place whereon thou standest is revealed as that life itself, until oneness is complete and there is no second, no two, no mortal life and immortal life, only eternal life. Now, if you are accepting eternal life, this will be your work, to learn what to do as eternal life, how to live it, how to be it, how to accept it, how to be obedient to the truth of it. This is how you build Christ consciousness. It is a challenge that demands the very highest capabilities within you. We'll have a short recess for about 5 or 6 minutes, and then see how we can apply our knowledge. I think it'd be a wise idea to look at some passages. I think they clarify certain things. Now then, we are being told in the 17th chapter of John that the invisible Christ stands where Jesus is, and that invisible Christ is eternal life. And that eternal life stands where everyone stands. That eternal life is the reality of being. That everyone is that eternal life. And that's the reason we're called the Son of God, because we are the life of God, and it is not a temporary life. And so the life that we are must be an eternal life to be the Son of God. And therefore, this visible, physical, changing, mortal creature is not us. There is an invisible self that is us, and all we're seeing is our concept of that invisible self through a human sense mind. But there is an invisible self, there is a Christ, and it is I. And that Christ is the begotten child of God, the Son. Now, for just those few who might still be in the lingering belief that Jesus was the only begotten child of God, we go to the second Psalm. The second Psalm, centuries before a Jesus appeared on the earth. Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. In the second Psalm. Verse 7. Now we know that Christ is the Son. There it says, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And so the Christ, which is the Son, pre-existed the form called Jesus, which appeared on earth later. Just as the Christ, which is you, pre-existed the appearance of your form here at this moment. That pre-existent Christ never stopped existing and is yourself now. Now here's something you may have overlooked, which was just called to my attention the last few days. It's in Matthew 12:32. A statement that's somewhat spellbinding to me. This is made by Jesus Christ. Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man. Now the Son of Man is appearing here as the form called Jesus. Disciples are seeing this form, and it is saying, I am the Son of Man. And it says to the disciples, whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, which means this, that you call Jesus, it shall be forgiven him. You can say something. You can blaspheme the Son of Man. You can blaspheme the form called Jesus. Jesus is saying it. You can do it. It will be forgiven. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come. The invisible nature of your being must be accepted. The visible form, whatever you say about it, matters little. The visible form is not the you. It was not the Jesus. The visible form is the concept. Anything you say about Jesus will be forgiven, says Jesus. But if you blaspheme and deny the presence of the Holy Ghost, the invisible activity of the Christ, then you are separating yourself from yourself. There's some more passages to look at. They follow one upon the other. John 12:24. 25 and 26. Now they sum up in advance of this last communion of Jesus Christ with the Father. They sum up the very things that he said, but in a way that we didn't see as clearly at the time. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, meaning separate, not with God. And if it die, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. The form is that corn of wheat. You must die to the concept of it. Or else you live alone, separated from yourself. But if you are able to overcome the concept of form by accepting I am eternal life, that means then that the wheat is, corn of wheat has fallen into the ground and is dead. But then if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. If you overcome the belief in form, living in the knowledge of eternal life, that life manifesting is the fruit. And even if you still doubt, again, he that loveth his life shall lose it. He that thinketh, in other words, that this mortal life is our life. If you love this mortal life, if you believe that the mortal life is your life, you shall lose it. That's obvious. We're all going to lose our mortal life. But he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Now, to hate your life in this world is to overcome the belief that it is your life. And to see that right where your life in this world seems to be, your eternal life is. That's hating your life in this world. Overcoming the belief that your transient sense of mortality is life, is hating your life in this world. And then, you shall keep your life unto life eternal. You're trading in your false concept for the true. Again, if you doubt. If any man serve me, let him follow me where I am. He's showing you his name is the invisible self of God, uncrucifiable. That's where I am, in the invisible, because I am the invisible life of God. Follow me where I am means accept yourself to be that invisible eternal life of God. Any man, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You'll find those in your 24, 5, and 6, 24, 25, and 26 of John 12. Now it becomes very increasingly clear by repetition in every way the eternal life of God, is the only life you could ever be, the only life you ever have been. And whatever else you may have thought, that was not your life. When this comes upon you, you say, where do I go from here? Because the idea in itself is so vast that the mind is sort of benumbed. It just stands there, gaping out, and it says, well, fine, but what do I do about it? First, cherish that moment when the mind is benumbed. That's a glorious moment. For once, the mind is no longer on the throne. It has to be a bystander. It has reached the point where it is incapable of taking thought. Be grateful. Rest in that benumbed mind, and let the mind of the Father supersede the mind of you, which was only a sense of mind. Finally, it reaches an idea too big to handle, and it stands there bewildered. It's taking no thought. I, in the midst of you, am the life, and I will do all the thinking. I, in the midst of you, have nothing wrong, and I am your life. Now, we used the word twin last time for the first time, or the time before. I want you to see that we're calling the twin your invisible self. That invisible self is your twin. That invisible self is the Christ. And we're saying that you have an invisible twin. And every time you forget it, you're going to be back in the false sense of life. Your invisible twin is in the eternal life now. And the way to start into the knowledge that I am eternal life is to remember that though I appear out here in the visible, I have an invisible twin named Christ. And that invisible twin is ever present as I in the midst of me. And that same twin of me is I in the midst of everyone else, so I am in the omnipresence of my own invisible twin. And if I will wait and listen, my twin, my invisible self who is ever present, will guide me. Be still. Rest in the twin. And no matter what the circumstance, even if you're in a good situation, never act before you receive the conscious knowledge of the presence of the invisible twin. You will find you will be guided correctly. The Christ of you is the invisible twin who will guide you correctly if you will wait upon the Lord. The waiting, then, is first to control the active sense mind. Unless you control the active sense mind, you are not preparing the way. And as you control the active sense mind to listen for your twin, you find you're really doing that which was given in the Sermon on the Mount as asked, seek, knock. You're asking the twin to speak. You're seeking the twin. You're knocking in the invisible for the twin. You know that every human action in the outer is a separated action. It doesn't spring from the eternal life of you. And so you rest in the knowledge that present here now is my eternal life. The twin, the invisible Christ, ever present. And within my eternal life, within the twin, every idea of God is embodied and is omnipresent. I don't have to ask for the idea. It will pop to the surface if I am in the awareness of my twin self. Oh, it may seem like duality for a while, but you'll get over that. My invisible twin is ever present, and I can guarantee to you that your invisible twin is the Christ of God. and your invisible twin will always know every answer that is necessary for every situation. And before you ask, I shall answer. And I have the answer here waiting for you, but you must seek me. You must knock on my door in the invisible. And when you do this, you become aware that your twin is infinite. And again, brought into clear focus is your function on the earth. You are here in a seeming human consciousness to be an outer expression of your invisible twin. Your invisible twin expressing through your outer consciousness is your function at this moment. If you are the outer expression of your infinite invisible twin, which is one with you, everything you do will be divinely ordained. And so if you know your twin is present as the Christ, eternal life, and that your outer consciousness merely must wait upon that twin to be guided, then the infinite twin will be guiding you locally. And you'll find one continuous action from the infinite Christ to the outer visible human type expression. Ultimately, the twin will take over, the Christ will rise. But that twin seems like it's personalizing, but I find it very effective. Effective because we can't hang on to nothing. It helps us to establish a specific living invisible identity, which we're calling the twin. Your spiritual twin. You've lived without it, now live with it, and watch the difference. Don't get ahead of yourself. You can say, but I am the twin. Of course you are. Just get into the habit of reaching to that invisible twin, and it will make all the declarations for you. Control the outer mind, which is preparing the way. Listen for the invisible twin. And then, three, be obedient. When you are in the outer, obedient to that inner twin, which isn't just where you're standing, but is universal, you are fulfilling your function. You are expressing the divine mind. And whatever you do carries with it the benediction of the invisible Father within, perfecting and performing all that concerneth itself in you. Make this twin real to you. And remember, it is the I that is in you that is greater than all who walk the earth. This twin moves the mountain. This twin parts the sea. This twin has the answers. This twin does the impossible, but not your will. The will of the Father within you. Always, what is your will is what you ask the invisible twin. Until it is so real to you that you're in the Paul's way of life, I live, yet not I. The invisible twin, the Christ, liveth my life. And that is why my life is ever protected against the scorpion on the arm, against the Roman centurions, against every outer circumstance. Eternal life is its own protection. It is real, it is now, it is you. There is a kingdom. There is a Christ. You are that Christ and you are in that kingdom. Listen for the twin. Don't act from the outer self, act from the inner twin. Then look across the street at the neighbor coming down the street. Your twin is there. Your invisible twin is right where the neighbor is. Look up and down every street in the universe. Everywhere is your invisible twin. Don't care what the form is. Let that corn of wheat fall into the ground. Everywhere, identify your invisible twin, the infinite Christ, and wait. You will be guided. The words and the deeds will all be of the Christ. This is glorifying the Father. What is happening to us? We are learning that we are eternal life, and that eternal life is never in a form. When we are eternal life understood, we are absent from the form, but we are present with God. You must put eternal life and absent from the form together to make them work. You are absent from the form when you know you are eternal life. They go together. They take you out of the limited, finite boundaries. This is how you glorify the Father. You can't glorify the Father as a limited form. Man has tried and failed. He continues to die. You glorify the Father by living. The Father has no pleasure in your dying. You are his eternal life. Now what we have been given in these five verses then is a new kind of Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer was given to the disciples along the way to lead them, to guide them, to bring them up to this point where the Lord's Prayer, which is the truth, is now explained as the revelation that the kingdom of God is present. At the beginning of the demonstration of Christ, man was given the Lord's Prayer. And at the near end of the demonstration, he is given the communion with the Father, which is the Lord's Prayer again, expressed at a different level. It is the Christ prayer in you with the Father, the eternal, constant, unceasing prayer of truth. The knowledge that I go to the Father with me is one. I am living that Lord's Prayer when I live in eternal life. The kingdom is come. The will is being done on earth as it is in heaven. There is no temptation to digress into evil. All of the power is there. The glory is there. Because you are the living kingdom of God. You are the living Lord's Prayer. The greatest word that comes to us now is obedience. Obedience to the Father within, the Christ, the infinite, invisible twin. Remembering that that twin is always present. I, says the Christ, am never alone, for I go unto the Father. And now we can say, I am never alone, for I am always the invisible Christ. If I just remember, that relationship will be so completely cemented that it will become automatic. Everything will be referred to the twin. The twin will run your business and your home and your marriage, your relationship with the world. And it will be in the image and likeness of God. All this was predicted by Daniel, that there would be a kingdom of God on earth which would be everlasting, that all dominion was given to the eye of your being. We shall even graduate out of these forms, out of this world of senses, and that which is invisible will become the living, visible kingdom of God for those who walk in the eternal life. Notice how easily you'll pick up people who now say to you they have a sickness that looks incurable, or they have this problem or that. You'll see how completely they are out of tune with truth. Quickly, something in you says they just haven't begun. And then you'll wait upon the twin who will say to you, but don't you recognize that it is I standing here, not a person? Drop the concept. I, your invisible twin, stand before you. Don't you recognize me? Everywhere I am. I am the invisible self of the world, your twin. Trust in me. Glorify me. Believe on me. The Father honors all who do this. For I and the Father are one. Now we've got a good head of steam up on the 17th chapter. We're going to stay with it. Your meditations this week should be on your invisible twin, your name as eternal life, and everything you ask in my name will be given you. As you recognize yourself to be eternal life, all that eternal life is will express in your experience. You see how the government is on the shoulders of eternal life, not on a human mind? How you can begin to relax all the demands and pressures of the world, knowing that your twin knoweth your needs. Study today's lesson very carefully. It's the complete explanation of all that is going to happen in the rest of the Gospel of John, in the total mission of Jesus Christ. It contains everything. And it is all about you. Now go back with me 2,000 years ago. You are living because your name is life. You weren't in this form, but life was there. Life was here. Go back as far as your mind can think. You were living. Life never began at any one point. God never became your father at a specific time. God always was your father. And so your life always was. The forms it took into the appearance world are not what we are discussing. We are establishing that your life always was. And that life is the same life that is now. And it will be the same life forever. The original glory of your life is forever. Work with the knowledge that your life is not riveted to this point, this place, this time, that your life didn't begin in the 20th century. Your life doesn't end in the 20th century. Your life isn't confined within the shoulders and the hips and the ankles. Your life is everywhere now. And that is your invisible twin, which is expressing through you into the visible where you appear to be. Make this appearance of you obedient to your invisible life everywhere, and you will see the meaning of revelation, receptivity, meekness unto the Spirit, listening, waiting upon the Lord, direct cognition of the infinite, tuned to the infinite. All of this is saying, let the outer appearance of you be aware of the invisible infinity of you, and let the infinity of you come through its way. Don't push it or press it or force it or demand of it. It knows what it is doing. The eternal life of you is living with the total intelligence of God as its mind, with the perfect body of God as its body. Let all of this come through you. Be obedient to your invisible self, and you'll find that power which the world has missed. As much has happened today here, more than we can see at the moment. And many of you who do not practice will find that whatever has happened is of little value to you, because the practice of these things is what brings them into play and tunes down the world mind. As you practice, you'll find the world mind loses its power, and in some way you are raising the consciousness of the world. We have been given many blessings in this chapter 17. Thanks again very much.